Hello, and welcome to KFAI's International Women's Day programming. My name is Joanna Olson. I am the Communications and Marketing Specialist at ECHO, which stands for Emergency, Community, and Health Outreach. Thank you for joining us for our program, Breast Cancer Doesn't Discriminate. To give you some background, ECHO has been a nonprofit serving the Twin Cities and Greater Minnesota since 2004. ECHO's mission is to collaborate with diverse communities to deliver programs and services that help people be healthy, contribute, and succeed. We do this by creating educational video programs, radio announcements, flyers, and more in multiple languages, including Spanish, Hmong, Somali, Vietnamese, Lao, Cambodian, and English. You can take a look at all of these items on our website, echominnesota.org. That's E-C-H-O, Minnesota, all spelled out, .org. We are also on Twitter and Facebook. Thank you again for joining us for Breast Cancer Doesn't Discriminate. This show will take place in four parts. In part one, we'll discuss some basic information on breast cancer detection, prevention, and treatment. In part two, we'll hear from a breast cancer survivor. In part three, we'll talk with subject matter experts who will answer questions about breast cancer detection, prevention, and treatment. And in part four, we'll talk about some additional multilingual resources. And now, I would like to introduce you to the wonderful group of women who have graciously agreed to be on the show today. Mao Tao is a Hmong health educator with Ramsey County. She is a veteran ECHO spokesperson, and she will be hosting the interview segments of this program. Shangmi Lee is a first-generation Hmong immigrant and a breast cancer survivor who lives with her family in the Twin Cities. Dai Vu is a guest expert from the American Cancer Society, where she is a community partnership specialist. And then also joining us is Laura Vang, a community health educator at Planned Parenthood Minnesota. Now, I would like to take a moment to say that this program is providing educational and not medical information. Please consult your doctor if you have any health concerns. And with that, we will take a short break. And when we come back, I will give a brief overview of the basics of breast cancer detection, prevention, and treatment. Welcome back! Before we begin the discussion, we're going to take a few minutes to review the basics of breast cancer detection, prevention, and treatment. Every year, 3,000 women in Minnesota get breast cancer. It's something that can sound frightening, but it can be successfully treated, especially if it's found early. So, what is breast cancer? It's a tumor that starts from cells of the breast. Cells are the building blocks that help make up our bodies. A cancerous or malignant tumor is a group of cancer cells that may invade or spread into surrounding tissues in other parts of the body. Breast cancer almost always occurs in women, but men can get it too. No one knows what causes breast cancer, but doctors do know that certain women are more likely than others to develop it. For example, the chance of getting breast cancer increases as you get older. Most women, but not all, are over 60 years old when they are diagnosed. People who have relatives who had breast cancer are also more likely to develop it. But more and more women have been surviving breast cancer because people are learning more about the disease and it's being detected earlier. Breast cancer is treatable. And the earlier it's detected, the better chance a person has of surviving it. The treatment is also easier on the person if the cancer has been found early. Unfortunately, breast cancer is often not being detected early among women who are not native English speakers. To increase your chances of doctors finding breast cancer as soon as possible, it's recommended that women have regular clinical breast exams and, for women 40 and older, mammograms. A mammogram is an x-ray of the breast that can reveal possible breast cancer. Once you reach the age of 40, doctors recommend that you have a mammogram every year. A mammogram can detect possible cancer before it can be felt by you or a health professional. In addition to regular mammograms and breast exams, your doctor can show you how to do self-exams to check for any lumps or unusual signs in your breasts. You can also reduce your chances of getting breast cancer by limiting the amount of alcohol you drink, not smoking and avoiding secondhand smoke, eating at least 5 servings of fruit and vegetables, and making sure you regularly exercise. If you do get breast cancer, there are many ways to treat it. Those include radiation therapy, which uses high-powered beams of energy, such as X-rays, to kill cancer cells. Another treatment is chemotherapy, which uses drugs to destroy cancer cells. For some women, surgery is the best choice. Sometimes, just the tumor is removed. In other cases, the entire breast is removed to stop the cancer from spreading. When it comes to recovering from breast cancer treatment and preventing it, it's important that women talk about it with each other and with their families. That way, husbands, brothers, kids, other relatives, and close friends can understand what they're going through and help them keep a medical schedule that ensures they're as healthy as possible. There are many resources for women to learn about both preventing breast cancer and dealing with it. In just the past 20 years, breast cancer survival rates have gone up dramatically. The more you know about breast cancer, the better your chances of preventing it or surviving it. Now, thank you for sticking with us through that short overview of breast cancer. We're going to take a brief break, and when we come back, we will hear from Shangmi, breast cancer survivor.
จอเดเตนาวาจอเกจอเปนองนึงมุนดูเจนเจวันเจลูเจขาเจตาวจอมุตาอิจิตุจิเยซูนูตาวลอตัวนึงไกตาวตัวนึงชาตาวจอ Nai tao khi pha cho bè nông nè Nghĩa lý mùa phè mù chua và chứ Chứ dây sứ gió tư chờ xe Nữ gió khó chè tía gió khó ca Nữ gió cho kê mù tao cho xe
Welcome back. We are about to begin part 2 of Breast Cancer Doesn't Discriminate. We'll hear from Shangmi Li, a Hmong woman who survived breast cancer. We'll hear her story, and Mao Tao will be the interviewer. We'll hear her story in addition to some of the cultural barriers that she faced. And with that, I will pass the mic over to Mao.
Thank you. And thank you, Shangmi, for coming to the show today and especially to, share your story. I think that's very courageous, and I know that it must be difficult being a Hmong woman and especially not totally brand new to the country, but cancer is such a, it means different thing in different cultures. So I just want to take this opportunity to thank you for coming and share your story.
You're welcome.
Can you, you know, talk a little bit more about, you know, when you find, you know, the first time you find out about your cancer?
Well, about 11 years ago that I found out that I have breast cancer that from a doctor.
Okay, so how did you, you mentioned about seeing your doctor and finding out from your doctor. Did you have to go to the clinic? And
yes, I went to the clinic for a yearly exam, and doctor ordered a mammogram for me. So after that, doctor said he found something wrong in the breast cancer, in my breast. He asked me to go for the second one, and he told me that the result turned out so abnormal.
So you mentioned briefly that you do go to the doctor regularly on annual checkup, so?
Yes, that's right.
So, you know, it's important, right, to go in every year?
Yes, it's very important to every woman to go every year for checkup.
Share with us a little bit about, you know, how you feel, or you know, when your doctor contact you and to let you know that they have seen something abnormal in your mammogram, did your doctor schedule a biopsy?
Yes, he did. And when I heard the words abnormal, I a little bit nervous. So I have to go to talk to him and ask a last question. And my doctor did tell me everything clear.
What was the biopsy like? I know that you have a lot of experiences helping other women, but having it done by on you, how does it, you know, make you feel? Or
well, doctor asked me about what should I do, and when he tell me the result of the biopsy, and he said he found that he has some cancer cell in the biopsy, and I need to go for surgery. So we did schedule for a surgery.
How did that make you feel? Were you scared?
The word cancer make people scared, and I know that I trust doctor, and I believe that he would do the best for me. So I shared this with my family. Not other people, but my family only. And we agreed to have surgery.
Was it difficult, you know, to bring up with your family? And, you know, I know that you make a decision as a family, but how did that come about? Was it difficult to, you know, talk to your, for example, your husband and your children? And, you know, was it, you know, just tell us a little bit about the process.
Well, it's a little bit difficult, but I have to be strong. So I tell them, come to have a meeting. And they asked me, what meeting about? I said, about my health. Doctor found out that I have some cancer cell in my breast from last biopsy. And they said, what you will do? I said, I trust in doctor. So now it's still early, so I will go ahead for surgery. So my family, my children, they agree with me and they really support it.
That's wonderful. Now, growing up in Laos, did you and other people have different view of breast health and cancer?
Well, back in Laos, we never know anything about cancer. We heard some from the radio, but we don't know what kind of cancer and is it dangerous or not, that we don't know. But when we come to this country, when we heard about it, and doctor explained everything, I just feel very happy that I understand the health of person, how much important to us.
You mentioned about, you know, believing or trusting your doctor or healthcare professional, that's important. How did you, you know, end up changing the way you thought about cancer? You mentioned earlier about, you know, it can be pretty scary. And I think we talked about cancer means different thing in different, or translate different, you know, in different cultures and communities. How did you change or what's your view of cancer after being in the U.S.?
I think this is a really good opportunity for us to learn about our health, because back home or in Laos, we don't have adequate about anything about our health. And now, when we come to this country, doctor is a very good advice and more information about our health. They'll tell us everything what happened. This way make me very happy, and I'm sure that doctor can help me early.
That's wonderful. That's, you know, you're happy with that. Show me, are you glad or happy, you know, for the choices you made in terms of, you know, cancers, getting
yes.
surgery, or, you know, learning more about the cancers?
I am very happy that I understand and I trust in doctor. I believe that when you detect early, I will be survived. And I'm so happy when I get better from the result of my surgery.
Show me, what advice do you have for other women or other families who are, you know, in your, you know, in your situation, or how can, you know, what advice do you have for them so that they can deal with cancer?
I encourage all women to go for annual exam, and if doctor order a mammogram, they should not refuse, and they must go for that. We'll give them a good result and early detect when they have cancer. When we don't know, we don't see, but the X-ray can show the result for you.
Thank you, Shomi, again.
You're welcome.
For coming.
That was such an amazing story, and thank you so much, Shomi, for sharing it with us. I would like to remind our listeners that this program is providing educational and not medical information. Please consult your doctor if you have any health concerns. All right, and now we are going to take a short break, and when we come back, we'll begin part 3 of our program and have a conversation with Laura, health educator at Planned Parenthood, and Dai Vu, an educator at the American Cancer Society, and we will talk more about breast health.
Thank you.
Welcome back. We are about to begin part three of Breast Cancer Doesn't Discriminate. And we'll open up the conversation to our two guest health experts. Just 2 seconds to remind our listeners that this program is providing educational and not medical information. Please consult your doctor if you have any health concerns. And with that, I will pass the mic over to our fabulous host, Mao. Thank you so much, Mao.
Thank you, Joe. First of all, I'd like to welcome both Dai Wu and Laura Wang. Dai, thank you so much for joining us today. And please give us, you know, information about your background and your work at the American Cancer Society.
Thank you, Joanna and Mao, for having me here today. Again, my name is Dai Wu, and I work at the American Cancer Society located in Mineral Heights in the Health Equity Department. I've been there for about 6.5 years now, and my main responsibilities at the American Cancer Society is to work with different clinics, federally qualified clinics, to provide free mammograms or at least low-cost mammograms for uninsured women or underinsured women. I also am active out in the community with social services and different communities just to increase their awareness about screening resources, teaching them about cancer, that they can live better lives, longer lives from it.
Also want to thank Dai for that introduction and Laura for joining us today as well. Would you please, you know, take a moment to let us know about, you know, who you are and what your work is about at Planned Parenthood?
Okay. Thank you, Mel. My name is Laura Vang, and I am the community health educator at Planned Parenthood. My main purpose for doing my job really is to educate the community about health education, primarily reproductive health. We do women's health. We do a lot. My scope of education really is to educate the community about STI, HIV, teen pregnancy prevention, and HIV STI treatments, as well as screening, pap smears services, both for men and women. My job primarily, the other half of it really is to be out in the community engaging and talking about Planned Parenthood and our services. And the other bulk of that is really just working with the adults and the youth to educate them and, you know, teach them to be peer educators out in the community.
Wow, sounds like it's a lot of information and lots of knowledge that can really, you know, help the community understand more about, you know, your services that you are providing and perhaps learning about new, you know, resources. Thank you both Dai and Laura for coming. Now Dai, why should women get screened for cancer?
Because cancer is something that could be found early. And especially in the state of Minnesota, we have many, many cancer cases that could have been found early or prevented even. In 2012, the American Cancer Society estimate that we have about 1.6 million cases, new cases, and that would be about half a million deaths. So that would come out to be about 1,500 deaths a day. But in terms of breast cancer, we estimate that this year alone, about 226,000 women will have invasive cancer. That means cancer at a later stage, cancer that would metastasize in other areas. So the importance of screening early is that you can find it early. If found early, it's 95 to 98% survival. On the flip side, if a woman finds her cancer late, it's only about 23% survival. And that's a really sad story for everyone involved. Also, in terms of screening, it reduces illness and chance of death. Early cancer have no symptoms, and that's really the best time that you should go for your screening when you're healthy. Mammograms can find cancers about 85% of the time. And it is one of the best strategies that we have here to find breast cancer early.
Wow, that's a lot of information to absorb. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it seems like it's a lot of people. It's impacting a lot of women and men, as you said. When should a woman get screened?
Breast cancer, and I really like the topic today, that breast cancer does not discriminate. Young women can get breast cancer, older women can get breast cancer, but in general, cancer is a disease of older age. Women in their 20s and 30s have one of the lowest rate of getting breast cancer. Women in their 80s, 70s and 80s have the highest. So in terms of women in their 20s and 30s, they should go and get a clinical breast exam every 3 years. And they should also have monthly or breast awareness. So that could be a monthly basis, every few months, but just be aware of any changes to the breast. Now, when you get to age 40 and over, that's when you really need to start, stay on top of your screening. Women who are 40 and over should have yearly mammograms. Start earlier if breast cancer runs in your family, especially for African-American community. They tend to have earlier, more aggressive cancers earlier than age 40. So if it runs in your family, ask your doctor to see, maybe you start screening earlier. And so also in the 40 and over group should have a clinical breast exam. That's an exam in the clinic by a healthcare provider. And then they can also show you how to do your monthly breast check or your self-check at home.
Now, that years ago, the self-breast exam was seen as crucial. Now it's somewhat controversial. Why is that?
The fact of the matter is, a lot of research has gone into this, and breast self-exam cannot replace a mammogram. I know that there you probably have heard many stories that women have found their own cancer through a breast self-exam. That's wonderful, but that number is few versus a lot of women will not go in for a mammogram because they think that they can stay on top of the breast health. The reality is, a mammogram is the best strategy to find breast cancer early. The national recommendation that is from the U.S. Preventive Service Task now, they actually discourage self-exams based on clinical studies. Some of the fear is that women would come in all the time because they're finding all types of lumps. The thing is, our breasts are very lumpy. It's got mammograms and ducts and everything. So when you're feeling it, it might just cause people more anxiety, more fear than good for them. So that's why we really recommend, to actually go for a mammogram. But there are groups that have higher risk, and I would highly encourage them to be on top of their breast health. That means just know what are the changes in your breast, and there are a lot of literature out there to show you what are some of the symptoms that you can check yourself for, every month, every few months, however that is. But definitely talk to your doctor to see if that's something that you want to know more about.
Well, Laura, we have heard a lot from Dai about, going in for screening. What are some cultural barriers to breast cancer screening?
Well, Mao, there's a whole spectrum of barriers, but I mean, there are many that are very similar in cultures, specifically cultures, and cultural religious beliefs. Mainly, maybe people are uncomfortable with exposing their body parts, private parts, to, maybe their roles in the family. Confidentiality is a big role, it plays a huge part, and, building trust with your provider, and maybe the gender of the provider, because, women, a lot of times we are embarrassed to expose our body to male, providers, so a lot of times, that hinders, our screening, that we should get checked. And then one of the ones that I've often heard are, lack of interpreters. Maybe there's not an interpreter available, and so you could miss your appointment for that day. Or sometimes, mistrust of interpreters, when it comes to confidentiality, because in some culture, you're very close-knitted and, relate in some shape or form. So, somehow, it's so invasive, of a nature, of the exam that, sometimes, we want it to be anonymous. And then last of all, depending on the culture, a lot of times, people might believe in herbal healing instead, or maybe, in the natural healers, that women should use, if that makes them more comfortable.
Mm. Yeah. What are some non-cultural barriers that are common to many women?
some of the non-cultural barriers that we've often, you know of are lack of health insurance, lack of knowledge and awareness of cancer prevention and screening, but primarily education, I think, you know, about breast cancer. And then transportation. You know, especially with elderlies, a lot of times, you know, especially in communities of colors, you know, maybe they don't have, you know, transportation and lack of support for that. And then childcare plays a huge role in, you know, in non-cultural barriers as well. And then in some, when we are not aware of our convenience of or the benefits of screening and fear of the results, I think primarily are the reasons for, you know, some of the barriers.
Mm. Dai, how much does family history, other factors play into a woman's chances of getting breast cancer?
Really good question. Breast cancer, in terms of genetic risk, is only about 5 to 10%. So of all the number of women, the case number of women getting breast cancer, only about 5 to 10% of them have someone else in their family that had breast cancer, like a mom or a sister. Otherwise, about 80-90% of women that get breast cancer, there are no family history of it. And no one, and right now research does not have an answer as to why people get it and some people don't get it. And even though there are some risk factors such as age of the first birth of the baby. So if women that have children after age 30, or if they have the menstruation start earlier than the average age, or later menstruation, later menopause, those are all risk factors that they have. But again, that does not equal breast cancer later on. But again, those factors do play by increasing the risk. The biggest risk is actually being older, getting older, and being a woman. And so if anyone can change that about themselves, then then yes, we can totally bring our risk down to zero. But the reality is, the majority of the women, 78% of the women that get breast cancer, the only two risks that they share is that they are getting older every year and that they are female. Mm. And so those are hard risk factors to change again. And then also in some cultures that are like immigrants, refugees, we've had to leave our home country. So we leave all of our records, our health history. So it's hard to track back more than one generation or so to see if there's any health, any risk factors or any family history of breast cancer in our family.
The fact that we can't change our age and our gender, what do you, you know, I mean, what do you decrease, what do we have to do to decrease our chances of getting breast cancer?
Right. So as we know that even though breast cancer is a disease that you cannot prevent, but there are some things that you can do to decrease your risk, just like how you drive a car and you wear a seatbelt. If you get into a car accident, your chance of getting hurt is less if you have a seatbelt on. Same goes with breast cancer. Here are some of the behaviors or the choices that you can do to decrease your risk. First is limit alcohol. Women should have no more than one serving a day, and men should have no more than two servings of alcohol a day. And then also eat at least 5 servings of fruit and vegetable, and decrease your fat in the diet through meat. Decrease your meat as well. Also exercise regularly, more than, you know, the recommendation is 60 minutes a day for adults. And I know I'm at fault for getting my 60 minutes in, but we should try to be more active. Not only will it help you decrease your risk of getting breast cancer, but also will help you stay healthy and protect yourself against colon, ovarian, all many types of cancers that being healthy will protect you from. And lastly, maintain a healthy weight, especially in adulthood. For there are studies out there that say that women that can even lose a percentage of their weight during adulthood, if they're overweight, can decrease their risk of getting breast cancer significantly.
Thank you, Dai. Well, with that, we'll take a short break. Thank you. Now we're back talking about breast cancer doesn't discriminate. We have just talked to Dai and about, you know, we're going to go and talk to, talk to Laura about, you know, what are the symptoms of breast cancer?
Thank you, Mel. I think that's a really great question. Early detection and what are the symptoms of breast cancer is really early breast cancer usually doesn't cause symptoms. And some of the common changes include a lump or thickening in or near the breast or in the underarm area, or a change in the size or shape of your breast, and tenderness or redness of the breast, and nipple discharge, especially blood. But I mean, that's not to say that it's conclusive just because you have some of these symptoms that you have breast cancer. I think the best way to diagnose this really is to consult and seek your doctor's advice.
So women in should, you know, get to know their doctors and perhaps maybe follow up with a primary doctor. I know that in our culture, women tend to go to different, you know, doctors. Mm-hmm. So how do you, you know, what a best way, what a best practice?
Well, I would say personally for myself, and I think women in general, I think really is building that trust with your doctor so that you can, you know, feel comfortable talking about, you know, very intimate, you know, diagnosis or, you know, treatments, you know, and such as, you know, breast cancer.
And I, if you have cancer, how should you prepare for a breast cancer doctor's appointment?
Yeah, I think when you are dealing with cancer, a lot of things are going on in your mind, just like how our wonderful guest speaker before, Shanlisa, said that, you know, when you hear the word cancer, it's a really scary thing. So write down, go get yourself a book or have a family get you a little binder, a little notebook, so that you can write everything down, all the questions that you can think of, because you will forget, you know, that fear just overwhelms you and takes over everything. So write every symptoms that you experience down, and write every question that you or your family or anyone that are part of your care have asked you to bring to your doctor. Knowing what you're taking, your medication, vitamins, or supplements, your doctor would normally ask you, what are you taking, so that the drug that he or she might be prescribing would not contradict with that that vitamin or supplement. Especially for, I think, our Southeast Asian community, if you're taking any herbal medication, you know, we might think that ginger or turmeric or any other type of herbal medication that we're taking, or roots at home, might not interfere, but it's good to tell your doctor that you are taking these herbal medication, just in case there might be contradictions or barriers for absorption of other medications that your doctor might be prescribing. And I think more importantly, take a friend or a family member with you. Again, I was able, about 3 years ago, able to experience the cancer journey with a friend. She was only 28. She discovered her own some symptoms that she went to the hospital, and as soon as the doctor said that you have cancer, she called me right up. And ever since then, from the very get-go, I was with her at every appointment, and she was very very grateful. There are times where I say, you know, the doctor said this, and you really should be calling this person, and she would say, really, he said that? And I said, yes, you know. So I think that when, again, that cancer is very, very scary, and to have someone there with you to remind you what the doctor is saying, to also just hold your hands, I think, you know, that helps a tremendous amount when you're going through such a stressful experience. And also, just she also brought a tape recorder. So when she's writing notes not fast enough, she'll just bring the tape recorder up to the doctor's mouth and say, can you repeat that, please? And then she would take that home and play over and over, just so that she understands what are the next steps for her. Because the doctor will throw out a bunch of jargon about biopsy and needle direction and everything. And I didn't even know, I didn't even understand most of what he was saying. So I was happy that she had the tape recorder. So all those things are just starting points. I'm sure that you can talk to your family about how else that you can prepare, because this is a journey that needs every part of your family to be involved in it.
Wow, that's incredible. You know, I think you mentioned about bringing a tape recorder. I think that's wonderful because, you know, oftentimes, especially women who do not speak English, and, you know, having to rely on interpreter to interpret, and you know how it is, you know, when you translate or when you interpret, you lose a lot of information in between. Yeah. So, but I'm just, you know, thinking about, you know, you mentioned about bringing a friend, having somebody there with you to walk with you, to hold your hands, to, you know, sometimes be a reminder, you know, you may not, you know, keep things or don't want to remember something,
right.
Especially when you are going through, you know, something this huge.
Right.
In terms of questioning, what type of questions should you be asking? I know that a lot of people say, oh, I don't want to ask my doctor because I, you know, it may be a dumb question,
right.
Or it may not be important, and or I might be, you know, and the doctor may look at me differently. So, what type of question, you know, to be, you know, asking or bringing with you to ask your doctor?
Right. I don't think there's any dumb question when it comes to your health and your life. Ask any question. I advise my friend, ask any question you feel coming to your, you know, into your mind. Ask any question that you need to know to make you more comfortable. So the first thing is to know what you're dealing with. So know the staging of your breast cancer. There are four stagings, from 0 to stage 4. And of course, the higher the stage, the larger the breast tumor, and the more advanced it is, the more likely that it's metastasized to other sites in your body. So you really want to know exactly what you're dealing with so that you can prepare your family and yourself mentally, spiritually, financially, however it is. So staging is the very first thing. What site is it at? Am I my left breast? Am I right breast? How far has it gone? So all those things are, you need to know that, to know what type of treatments are available to you. If it is a later stage, you might have to do chemotherapy and radiation. If it's a small tumor, you just might need a little biopsy. So that's what we're hoping for most women, is that they will find their cancers early. The next thing is, what are some of the treatment options that you are capable of having? There are some cancers that if you wait too long, or if the cancer is too late of a stage, that really binds your doctor's hands. A lot of treatment that would have been available to you if it was an earlier diagnosis is no longer available, because it's not going to prolong your life anymore. That at that stage, cancer has spread to all regions of your body, and it's just too much harm for you. It doesn't prolong your life anymore. So ask, what are your options? What are the side effects? There will be a lot of side effects if you have to go to chemotherapy and radiation. So know what those side effects are. So again, you can prepare for that so that your family can help you. So, you know, for chemotherapy, you're going to be nauseous and tired and easily become infected with you know, if you're exposed to different germs. So again, your family can help you with food preparation, food that doesn't irritate you. Again, so know what your side effects are going to be so you can prepare with medication, ask for nausea medication or anything like that. And then lastly, there are clinical trials here in the state of Minnesota that you can opt for. There, you can go to different websites and learn more about the clinical trials. Clinical trials are, they're testing new medication. You might be at more advanced stage where the current medication is not going to help you, or there, it just, you've come to the end of the road where there's no other medication that is out there for you. So you might decide that the option for you is to enroll yourself in a clinical trial that might help you extend your life for longer than what the doctor may have said. And then, does your insurance cover all the tests and treatment that the doctor is recommending? Cancer is a very costly disease. Several years ago, I heard on NPR a doctor telling an experience about his wife's cancer. He's a doctor, and they had to mortgage their house to pay for her treatment. That is tremendous exhaust of your finances when you're going through this, not to mention other income that you need to also pay. So ask your insurance about what's covered and what's not covered, so that you're not having the extra burden of the financial cost of your medication treatment.
Well, this is enormous. Again, information and, you know, complex journey for anyone, especially for people who are new, you know, new Americans.
Mm-hmm.
I hope there's, you know, I think we'll be talking more about resources later. But what if you are not satisfied with the answer? If your doctor say you have cancer and you don't believe that you have it, do you get a, is it okay to get second opinion?
Yes, I believe that having more information is good when you're dealing with cancer, and the doctor will not be offended. If they were in your situation or in the person's situation, they too would be calling other doctors just to get a third or fourth opinion. So the more information that you you know and have about your treatment, it's better for you overall. And again, information is what you need to know how to take care of yourself. So I would say ask as many questions as you need, as you know. But after a while, after you hear the same thing, then you might have to decide and make your decision then. If you hear from two or three doctors the same thing, then going to four or five more won't make a difference. But the chance, the need for a second opinion is important.
You mentioned about treatment earlier. Tell us about, you know, what happens or what usually happens when you go in for the treatment.
Okay. So like I mentioned earlier, breast cancer, there are different stages from zero to stage four. If a woman can find it in an early stage where it's so small, a mammogram can find a tumor the size of a grain of salt. So that, think of the tip of your pen, that's small. If you found it that early, you only need a little bit of surgery to get that out. Your breast will probably remain the same shape, same size, nothing will happen. But as you wait later on and the tumor is larger, you might have to have partial mastectomy, but definitely surgery to remove that tumor out is a first starting point. And if you wait even later than that, maybe the whole breast has to be removed in addition to your lymph node. So surgery is the primary treatment for early stages. Hormone therapy is another option to shrink the tumor before they do anything. Radiation is not always necessary, and if it is necessary, it tends to follow by chemotherapy. If your breast cancer is at a more advanced stage and they find that through the lymph node dissection the cancer may have moved to other sites of your body, you will have to go through chemotherapy. And chemotherapy is actually just a therapy that it will kill any rapidly growing cells in your body. So not only will it go and find the cancer cells that's fastly growing, but unfortunately it will kill other cells on your body that's growing rapidly, like your hair. So that's why when you see women here that women are going through chemotherapy, many of them are losing their hair. You know, their skin is feeling bad. The inside of their stomach, where the skin is actually growing pretty rapidly, so they'll have a lot of stomach problem, intestine problem. So all those are some therapy that you can may be prescribed to you by your doctor. But again, there are many things that individualized, but ask about clinical trials to see if there might be a study that is right for you.
Wow, Dai, it's so important, as you mentioned, you know, getting in early, getting treated or detect early, but can really help the outcome of a woman's life. How should women make sure that they make appointment and stick to them?
This is, I think, a crucial point that we come to, because the percent of people getting mammograms in different race is different. For our Asian community, only about 37-38% of women get the mammograms on a yearly basis when they should be. So that is 60% who's out there not getting the mammogram. For Alaskan Natives, only about 46% getting mammograms. Hispanic, Latino, only 41%. Our African-American colleagues and members are only getting the mammograms at about 50%. Our Caucasian white are getting at the highest rate, which is at 52%. Still, there is that gap in between. 100% of women that need mammograms should be getting mammograms. But the reality is a lot of women are busy. So when you have a mammogram, write it down. make sure that you maybe have a friend come with you if you're someone who have had bad experience in the past or are tend to be nervous about it. Make a commitment to sticking to that mammogram. And also, there are some preparation before you go get a mammogram. Don't get a mammogram on the days where you're having your period, because you're actually pretty tender. And don't be afraid to ask questions, because they want to make your experience as best as possible.
Okay, Laura, how should women get their, you know, we heard from Shomi how important it is to get family involved. How should, you know, women get their family involved in their health?
Well, Mao, it is very important for women to talk about breast cancer and prevention and treatment, but remember that family communication is key to health. It's important for women to talk about all health issues, including breast cancer, among their families and kids, and so that everyone can understand the importance of prevention and staying healthy.
Mm-hmm. What are some resources for women in Minnesota? We have talked about cancer, but you know, we haven't talked much about resources. What are some resources, both, you know, Di and Laura?
Sure. What people don't realize is that Planned Parenthood's doors are always open to everyone, regardless of their ability to pay. Whether you have private insurance or are uninsured or need a no-cost services, Planned Parenthood has a variety of payment options to meet patients' needs. And our doctors and nurses are highly trained, which is why one in five women come to us at some point in their lifetime for health care, including their annual exams.
And Di?
Well, like Laura mentioned earlier, one of the barriers that women don't get the mammogram is that they have no access, no insurance. And we're lucky enough that in the state of Minnesota, we have the SAGE program that will provide free mammograms to women who are uninsured or underinsured. And you can find out if you qualify for this program by calling 1-888-643-2584 to ask for a free mammogram and a pap smear. Also, you can go to the American Cancer Society and call their 1-800-227-2345 or else go to cancer.org and ask about what are some of the options for me to pay for a mammogram if you don't have insurance or if you don't know anything about a mammogram, when you should go get it. So they have a lot of information. And specifically for Minnesota, our different ethnicity, Hmong American Partnership has a brand new program to help Hmong elders, Hmong women to go get their mammogram. And you can call Lee Yang and ask for about this information. This program at 651-495-1552. And in the Vietnamese community, you can call Vietnamese Social Services and talk to Marie Tran. And her number is 651-917-2945. There are many other programs, such as the University of Minnesota Masonic Cancer Center. Number is 1-800-CANCER-MN if you have any questions about clinical trials. And then, of course, Laura, Mao, you can talk about the ECHO resources as well.
Oh, thank you for bringing that up. You know, I wish there's more time, but we have come up to an end of our program. I just want to take this opportunity to thank Dai Vu, Laura Wang, and Xiongmi for coming to the show and talk about cancer, breast cancer.
Thank you, ladies. And with that, we're going to take a very short break and close the program with a few more multilingual resources. Welcome back, and thank you for joining us. My name is Joanna Olson. I'm the Communications and Marketing Specialist at ECHO, and you just heard Breast Cancer Doesn't Discriminate, ECHO's program on KFAI's International Women's Day. Now, just a reminder, please consult your doctor if you have any breast health or health concerns. This program's intention is to be educational and not provide medical advice. I wanted to take just a few moments to tell you about ECHO. You can learn all about us at ECHO, Minnesota.org. We've got breast cancer resources in Spanish, Hmong, Somali, and low literacy English. Thank you again for joining us. Find us on Facebook and Twitter. Stay up to date on ECHO activities. And again, our website is ECHO, Minnesota, all spelled out, .org. Have a wonderful evening and joyful International Women's Day.